with us as we discuss your word. And would you make this truth go home to us in lots of practical ways, all for the praise of your glorious grace. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's Ephesians 1:7, and I'll give it to you now and then explain why we're here. It says, in Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His glorious grace. So, that's what it says, according to the riches of His grace. Glorious grace is verse 6, but anyway, you get the idea. We have redemption and we have forgiveness. And it's according to His riches, the riches of His grace. So how about what we do is we talk about why we're here. Again, this is a night, rightly so, that pretty much humanity agrees upon, one of the only times they agree upon anything, to take a step back, to look at the year behind, to look forward, to maybe even make some decisions about a correction of course or anything like that. And that's part of why I gave us Ecclesiastes to read, that there are seasons, there are choices to be made, there are courses to be set. Why I gave us the summation of the Gospel of John, that the course to set is one of belief. That not just the Gospel of John was written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but that this entire book was written that we might believe that and have life in His name. That is the purpose. I tried to think about, as I have to do a double step, not just because I'm from Oklahoma and the only dance I know is the two-step, but I do a double step because, you know, I step back personally, but I also step back as your pastor and try to evaluate. I look forward in that two-step process, personally and going forward. And Ephesians 1:7 was very clearly where I needed to bring you tonight. And here's why. as your pastor, you know, and if you know me personally, you also know, I spend a lot of time reading the Bible and memorizing parts of it. I have, over the years, I even taught you a bit about what it means to meditate on Scripture. And one of the things I learned over the years is that when I'm reading through the Bible, sometimes for volume, it's not necessarily that I need to get every single thing I could ever get out of every word. But sometimes the Holy Spirit takes you to a part of what you're reading, like Early in this year, I was reading through Ephesians, and I was reading a chapter at a time, and I do that morning after morning after morning, and Ephesians 1:7 grabbed me and would not let me be. And I spent a decent amount of 2015 meditating on what those three phrases mean. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Now the brilliance of grammar is that the last phrase goes with that one too. In Him we have redemption through His blood according to the riches of His grace. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Three phrases have haunted me. I've done a lot of thinking about why. And I want to share just a couple of things with you. Ephesians 1:7 is especially powerful because it speaks to two default modes of the human heart. Default modes meaning you're just where you tend to land in your day-to-day belief system. I've been in the ministry full-time since 1985, and I can tell you, listen to a lot of people, and these are pretty major denominators in what people tend to believe. In Him we have redemption through His blood, according to the riches of His grace, speaks to the fact that we tend to live like we're orphans, that we're not redeemed, that we're in the ditch on our own. We've got to dig ourselves out. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, addresses directly not the fact, just the fact that we know that we've sinned, but that we feel the guilt of it and we can't shake either off. So let's talk about how to deal with both of those, redemption and forgiveness. To learn to preach back to our hearts, no, I'm not an orphan. I'm not in the ditch anymore on my own. No, you see, I've been forgiven. And I not only do I not have to pay for my sin, I don't have to feel the guilt for it anymore. Let's talk about each of these very briefly. The first is redemption. Now, redemption in this verse, you need to understand, is a really unusual word. It's almost non-existent in Greek, ancient Greek that we have outside of the Bible. It isn't. It's used 7 times alone in the New Testament. No, 10 times. 7 by Paul. Sorry about that. Well, okay, redemption. What does that mean if you translate it as, well, deliverance? As liberation, think like one of the times it's used when they had the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. It's liberation of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. I think that gets at it really well. Or as a ransom that's being paid to free you. The only time we ever see it used in non-biblical Greek is best translated as manumission. Manumission is something that was known well in our culture, I'm ashamed to say, at one time. It meant when a master freed his slave. I want you to think about what that means. Because that's the best translation I think that we could use for this word, to get the flavor of it. Because of our own cultural baggage. Why did masters in America free slaves? Usually out of love. That was usually why they did it. Often writing it into their wills as an act of kindness. Well, sort of. Yeah, wonderful. But that doesn't take it quite far enough. And we know it doesn't take it quite far enough because of what goes on in the context here in Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, we have this huge list of the spiritual blessings that God has given us in Christ Jesus. But I just want to take you to verse 4. That's enough for us to think about for all of 2016. And here I'm going to take you to the last part of verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. And it says this, "In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ." Through Jesus Christ is all important, because why do we have redemption? We have it in His blood. Why did He give us manumission? It wasn't just to get us out of the bonds of slavery. It was to make us a daughter. It was to make us a son. And He did it as an act of love. And it's in Him. That's according to the riches of His grace. In other words, this would be too good to be true. This would be a nice little fairy tale time, a sentimental New Year's Eve sort of time of good wishes for you, except it's grounded in the solid reality of in Him, in His blood, and His glorious riches of His grace. Or adoption. So, we go from what? Being enslaved orphans. To what? Adoption as an act of love. Let that be a new definition for you as you go into 2016 of what we mean when we use the word grace. Adoption and love. That's how rich His grace is. And that's something to preach to your heart. You know, for most of us, on Monday, we go back to the real world. We go back to the hard realities. All the parties are over. Ain't nobody going to have any fun until Valentine's Day, and then some of us ain't going to have any fun then. You know, that's just the way it goes. Except that we have this treasure to preach to our hearts, a hug to ourselves. Say, I'm not on my own. I'm not in the ditch anymore. I've been redeemed to sonship, to daughtership, in love. Reach that to your heart this coming year. Take some time over the weekend and think about, okay, good idea. How am I going to do it? How am I going to preach that to my heart this coming year? Well, you know, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 is a great place to start. It's part of why I brought you here. Okay, the next one. Let's wrap this up. It's forgiveness. Well, forgiveness from one thing, from what, is what we need to ask. And because it's not just the sin, it's the guilt of the sin. You know, I have a good friend here in our congregation. He's given me permission to just say this. In a conversation we had, he became a Christian in this church. And he grew up in D.C. He grew up in a tough hood. He did a lot of terrible things. And one time, we were talking about that. And kind of almost along the way, in making his point, he said, you know, I used to be a monster. And he really used to be one. But then he went on to make a point, but I was frozen. I was like, okay, time out. How can you get over the fact that you used to be a monster? It's because in Him, according to the riches of His grace, my brother, your brother, enjoys the forgiveness of trespasses. And again, that word trespasses is an unusual word as well. Usually, when we're talking about forgiveness of sin, which the Bible tends to talk about a lot, particularly in the New Testament, it's the Greek word hamartia, which means you're shooting for the bullseye and you miss it, you blow it. This one is an unusually strong word, again. And it's the only time in the New Testament that it's used in reference to the forgiveness of sins. In other words, It's not just this sin and that sin and this sin and that sin. It's all of your sins, all of their effects, including all of the guilt that you have that you carry around because of them. That still to this day, even though you've been a Christian for years, you think about things that you've done and you cringe under the weight of the guilt that you have. That's the point that's being made here. And this says, I'm redeemed. I'm being made new. I'm forgiven, which from what? My sin and the guilt of my sin. Because to what? Jesus paid every single sin. He paid for it all the way. And we know that because of what it says. Again, let's just go to verse 4. Once again. It says there at the beginning of it, that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy. No more sin. That we should be blameless. No more guilt. That we would be freed from both. And that's just putting two verses together. I've been weaving other verses in 3 through 14 together with verse 7, and it's pretty amazing how much time you can spend on that. Something for you to do in 2016. Join me in learning to preach to your own heart. I don't not only have the freedom of being forgiven, truly forgiven of that sin, because Jesus paid for it all the way, His intention is to make it so that no kind of impulse that got me there will ever exist in me again someday. And that I don't have to bear any blame because He took it upon Himself in the cross. And I can know my Father's welcome. So you go back to the first part, that we were redeemed to adoption, and you don't have to be the black sheep of the family. You don't have to be the guilty daughter or son. You can come in and know your Father's welcome according to the riches of the grace of Jesus. That's the only thing that makes this plausible. According to the riches. You're rich. If you're here tonight, you're rich because you've heard about what's offered to you, what you enjoy if you're an adopted, even though you're a guilt-ridden daughter or son. Rich because of His grace. What we're going to do is end this year and start it in a couple of ways. One is we're going to sing an Advent song. And it's right for us to sing it now. It's hymn number 194. O Come, Emmanuel. My challenge to you is to make it a prayer. Because we are in the time between times. Yes, we have redemption. But it's not completed all the way yet. Won't it be nice when it is? Yes, we have forgiveness. But we haven't had a chance to thank the one who bought it according to the riches of His broken body and shed blood, according to His grace, face to face. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Sometime in the coming year, we got the opportunity in the second Advent to thank Him face to face. So we're going to make this a prayer. O come, this coming year, please. And then we're going to celebrate why we have redemption, why we have forgiveness, why we have the riches of His grace in His body and blood. So let's stand together and sing hymn number 194.